news time.
Yay!
All right. Welcome to the Christchurch Youth Podcast, everyone, where once again Josh has forgotten his iPad and looks up an applause sound.
Woo.
On YouTube. Woo! It was surprisingly good. I think a bit quiet,
but... But that's probably just your phone volume.
Yeah. But you guys are cheering along at home, so that'll make up
for... That's the most important thing.
For the noise. At home or wherever you are, you can listen to podcasts on the go as well.
Yes.
Welcome to
Life Advice
to
Josh.
Great Facts with Josh. Oh, man. Rach.
Yes.
Welcome.
Hello.
Thanks for speaking to us on Sunday and Friday and bringing us God's Word. I was deeply encouraged, and I'm really looking forward to getting back into Noah's Ark again today.
Yeah.
Not back into the physical Ark, but the narrative.
The passage.
Guys, if you haven't read Genesis 6 to 8 just in one slog, maybe 6 to 9 as a little sneak preview of this week, I highly recommend. It's been really, really helpful. Obviously, we're not going to read the whole three chapters right now because that'll be a bit much, and the podcast, which they've already been going pretty long, it'll go even longer. We're just going to read one little section, but before then, Rach.
Yes.
Favorite animal?
See, the first thing that came into my head was basic. Because it's a dog. But
I think
that's also because my family, my sisters and I really want a dog.
Yeah.
Like, we keep giving any excuse to our parents.
Yep.
To be like, can we get a dog?
Come on, surely.
Lockdown, we're all home.
Yep.
Come on.
Yep.
So that's the first thing that came into my head, but I think that's because it's
pretty topical at the moment.
In my brain.
Yeah, nice.
Is yours a bit more interesting than mine?
Honestly, I didn't think of one. I don't have one. I don't think I have a specific favorite animal.
Yeah.
I think there are some very cool animals.
Yes.
I really like the binturong. It's kind of like the binturong. I don't know if I've pronounced it incorrectly, but it's at Taronga Zoo. Potentially, and some other zoos around. It's kind of like a cross between a bear and a monkey and a possum. And so it's like this weird tree-dwelling creature that, like, I don't know, it just looks relatively cute, maybe not, but it kind of just swings freely through the trees. It's really cool.
Okay.
I'll show you a photo later.
Yeah, because I have no idea. I can't picture this thing in my head.
That's okay. Sorry, I should have picked something a bit more relatable.
Glad. I'll take your word that it's kind of cute.
Yeah, and I am very thankful to God for saving the binturongs on the ark.
Mm.
What a segue. I might read some of Genesis chapter 6. So if you guys want to read along at home, I'm going to go from verse 9. No, that's a lie.
Nope.
From verse 5 to verse 9. Here we go. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that he had made the man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, I will wipe mankind, who I have created, from the face of the earth, men and animals, and creatures that move along the ground, and birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. This is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God.
Mm.
Cool.
Yeah. Slightly different translation there. I was like, ooh.
Oh, really?
These sound like different words.
Oh,
but
is this...
I think it's just because older NIV.
Oh, I've got
maybe
the old one. Yeah.
But that's okay.
Yeah, nice. Cool.
But that's good because it's still God's word.
Yeah.
And that's great.
Rach, what are some initial thoughts? Like, I know you spoke on Friday and Sunday, and you spoke about kind of the wickedness of humanity, which we see in this passage. You spoke about God destroying the wicked, which we see in this passage, and we see God saving the righteous, which we kind of get an inkling of in this passage. Is there anything that maybe jumped out of you as we were reading again, other than a couple of different words?
Yeah, I think it's crazy when you read just how all-encompassing wickedness was.
Mm.
Like, every inclination of the thought of the human heart was only evil all the time. And we kind of, we touched on that on Friday and Sunday.
Mm.
But it's just crazy when we think about how, you know, we think about, oh, but people deserve to be saved because they're kind of good. Like, they're good people. Mm. Then surely they're going to go to heaven. They're good people. But actually, no one is good?
No, yeah. And not just no one is good. People are only completely evil all of the time. Wicked. Yeah.
Which is just, I think, quite confronting, but really humbling.
Mm.
Because we can't look at ourselves and be like, well, I'm great.
Yeah. And it's...
as a God.
It's interesting, isn't it? Like, I know the... It might seem, if you're listening to these podcasts in quick succession, and we go from Genesis 3, where sin enters the world and people reject God, Genesis 4, where sin kind of consumes Cain and Lamech and people reject God, and here Genesis 6, where people are only evil all of the time and reject God, you might get a sense of a bit of a pattern or a rhythm here in Genesis. Quick spoiler, it doesn't go away. No. Next week, we're going to be thinking about... no, I'm going to save that for next week and you're going to listen. Ooh, yes, nice. But obviously, the sin is still a thing.
Yeah.
Rejection of God is still a thing. Evil is still a thing. Suffering is still a thing. People haven't really necessarily been fixed yet.
No.
Which is interesting, isn't it?
It is very interesting. But it means that, as well, we can look forward to when those things will be done away with. Mm. Kind of skipping forward to the last point we made, where it's like, he saves the righteous.
Yeah.
For those who are in Jesus, for those who have faith in Jesus. And in this passage here, we see that Noah has found favor in the Lord, and Noah was righteous, and he walked faithfully with God. So he trusts in God.
Mm.
For those who trust in Jesus... will actually be saved into that new heaven, new earth, where there is no suffering and sin.
Yeah.
Which is just amazing.
It's going to be so good. I'm reminded of 2 Corinthians where Paul is talking about Jesus and says that Jesus became sin. He who knew no sin became sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God.
Yeah, I think we read that one. On Sunday, on Friday.
Oh, yeah, you did.
We did.
Yeah, that's why I'm reminded of it.
Hey, on the same wavelength.
How good is God's word? But God making us righteous, declaring us righteous, giving us his righteousness, just like Noah here. Mm. So he was righteous, he was blameless among the people. He walked faithfully with God. And this is the thing that gave him this relationship, this faith with God, which we saw in the Hebrews passage as well.
Yeah,
cool. Any thoughts about sin, and I guess any extra reflections on what sin does with our relationship with God?
Yeah, well, it's really sad actually when you read, particularly the start of chapter 6, what we just read. Your version said grieving very specifically, which is helpful because like my version and the version we read on Sunday and Friday says regret.
Yeah.
Which means deeply grieved.
Yeah.
So our sin actually hurts God and causes him to grieve and make him sad.
Mm,
And I think it's really easy to forget the relational effect that our sin has with God.
Mm.
Because it's not just like he tolerates it or he puts up with it or he's kind of detached from sin because he's saved us in Jesus. It's like, no, actually, when we still continue to reject him and choose our own way, that hurts him because he's so lovingly created us and then sent his son to die for us. And when we choose to still live in sin, that's hurting him.
Yeah. It's a relational thing. God is a relational God. We are made to be in relationship with him. And when we separate ourselves from that hurts. Mm. Like if you guys have, like this is not at all the same level, but like, If there's two friends that stop speaking to one another, there's a real hurt there. And if there was actions that maybe caused that separation in relationship, there's a grief there and there's a loss in relationship.
Mm.
How much more so the eternal, perfect, holy creator of the universe and the children that he has made rejecting him and saying, screw you, I'm in charge.
Yeah.
Like it just hurts.
And it seems so... Like, I feel like it's easy to look at passages like this in the Bible and be like, oh, like surely they would just do better. Like, like this is like, we can see it and be like, oh, they should have known better.
Yeah.
Like, for example, I get pulled up all the time on when it's like, God reminds his people of the Exodus. When they're like, I am the God, I'm the Lord your God, I brought you out of Egypt.
Yep, yep.
And you think about it and you're like, you read it, you're like, oh, how could they be so stupid to forget that?
Yep, yep, yep.
And then you're just like, oh,
and,
wait,
and
actually that's me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We can so quickly forget who God is and what he's done for
us.
Even if we're actively reminding ourselves, even if we're going to church every week, growth group, even if we're reading our Bible, our sinful heart loves to just forget God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we can't, like, we can't put ourselves above the wickedness in this passage because that's us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Completely. We need to have humility as we see people back in God's word, back in Genesis as well. So that leads to destruction. We see the flood.
Yep.
Pretty expansive, pretty whole, pretty all-encompassing. We saw in chapter 7 that everything, I'm not going to paraphrase it. I was going to paraphrase it, and that would have been wrong. It was in chapter, everything on dry land that had the breath of life in its nostrils died. Every living thing on the face of the earth was wiped out. People and animals and the creatures that move along the ground and the birds were wiped from the earth. That's a spectacular image. Not like, I don't know, it's sickening almost seeing this like huge loss of life. But that's just it's a physical picture of what our sin does. Our sin kills us. We choose to be separated from life. And the holy and righteous God, like, he really does have the right to bring destruction. And that's a good thing. Like you said, the quote about God's justice, if we would expect that God would deal with evil if he's a good and a just God.
Yeah.
And he does so. It's just we are. We are that evil.
Yeah, it's confronting, but it's so important.
Absolutely.
To remember that and then have that also drive. Not drive, but like have that as a reminder as we think to follow Jesus because it means that it's so important to follow him because otherwise we're swept away by the flood.
Completely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so you raised the question on Sunday, are we on the ark? Are we trusting Jesus? Do we recognize that we are found safely in him, secure from any judgment, any flood, any destruction, anything? We are safe from eternal destruction in our glorious Lord Jesus, in the ark himself. And are the people that we love on that as well? Are the people that we love found trusting in Jesus? Because it's the most important thing. And I don't just say that trivially. Like, it really is. Jesus really is the most important thing. I beg and I plead people to not hold off talking to people about Jesus if it's awkward or if it might seem a bit foolish.
Yeah.
People need him. People need salvation from their wickedness.
Yeah. And I made the analogy on Friday and Sunday about the person in the middle of the village green building an ark, which you think would be quite silly.
Yeah,
but
if
you knew that a flood was coming and that was the only way to be saved from the flood, wouldn't you tell everyone you could to try and save their physical life?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, wouldn't you?
Completely.
Wouldn't you want people to be saved?
Mm.
So then how much more urgent is
the
news of Jesus, who is the only way to be saved from eternal destruction?
Yeah,
like,
and he can return at any time, like you said in that passage from Matthew. Like, Jesus can come back whenever. We don't know when that'll be. The floodwaters can rise whenever. Are we going to be found trusting in the ark? Trusting. Are we going to be found on the ark? Sorry,
trusting,
I got the prepositions
wrong.
On the ark, trusting Jesus.
Yeah.
I pray we are.
Definitely.
Rach, thanks for bringing us God's word. guys, thanks for listening. Send in questions, send in thoughts and reflections and things like that. The podcast has been going pretty well. We've been having heaps of fun, and we're trying to work out if we're going to keep doing that next year at this point. So let us know. We'd love to hear from you. All right.
Okie dokie.
That's a bye from us.
Bye-bye.